This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome to Spouting Off. I'm happy to be home at my very own show, Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. And right out of the box, I'm going to give you a little program note. I'm excited and happy to let you know that Spouting Off is expanding. We are starting another version pretty much whenever I do talk radio and it's my own show and I'm not filling in somewhere else. It's Spouting Off because that's the name of the show. So we're going to do a version of Spouting Off on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That'd be 10 a.m. Pacific. You'll get all the information. We will promote it soon. It is opening and starting October 20th. We may even do a simulcast with BBS Radio and other networks that we like to work with. And the more the merrier here at Spouting Off, the more the merrier. So put that on your calendar, October 20th, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Mountain. We may be doing a couple of little changes so that we can simulcast this show, but I'll let you know all of the details after next week. So, gee, if only there was something to talk about on all these hours of talk radio that I do. Unbelievable. If you weren't already overwhelmed with the news and the information and all of the posturing, the political scheming that's going on, we are in the home stretch of the political scheming. And that includes the left doing everything they can to hamstring this president, this president's campaign, and using the coronavirus to do it. Now, excuse me, I don't have a cough button. I had to get one of those. Maybe I'll just take some coffee here. Now it's, excuse me. Okay, that's the last time I'm going to do that. Now it's back to the 25th Amendment. Now, we heard live that Nancy Pelosi was hinting and teasing about how they're going to go back to the 25th Amendment. But now we find out that it isn't just, it is a general kind of 25th Amendment that they want to propose. I think this is hilarious. Probably not for Donald Trump, who they believe they're going to get rid of. And I hope and pray and I suspect they are once again going to be screaming at the rooftops that Donald Trump gets another term. But nobody knows for sure. What they're trying to do is reassure their base that they can get rid of Joe Biden and install Kamala Harris. Now, the truth is the left doesn't like Kamala Harris very much, but they do like her politics. Her politics, and something that the left will not tell you, the leftist biased media will not tell you, and that is that Trevor Loudon, somebody I will have on in probably one of the very first shows of the expanded Spouting Off, has reported, has done the research, has made it clear that Kamala Harris, for all of her whining, unlikable, smug, arrogant personality, her ideology is that of a red diaper baby. So Trevor Loudon made it clear with backed up research that Kamala Harris is the same kind of red diaper baby that David Horowitz was. The only difference is David Horowitz actually balked at the hard left communists, especially after the Black Panthers killed one of his best friends. And Kamala Harris has been secretly a communist ever since. I don't think that she's changed. Her policies are clear that she suggests it. She is in agreement with everything the left wants, including giving free health care to illegal aliens, but not to you and me. We don't even want free health care. We want the government out of our business. The Green New Deal, let's see. These are just a couple of them. Oh, yes. She wants a gun buyback. I love that. Always using words, playing around with words. A buyback, meaning that the government owns all your property and they're going to buy it back from you. Doesn't that sound sweet? And it's a mandatory buyback, which means that they're going to force you to sell to the government something that you never bought from them in the first place. They don't own your property, but they're going to confiscate it and call it a buyback. It has been done in European cities around the country. I mean, around around the world. And they always have a sweet name for something that is evil and very, very dangerous to yours and my freedom. It has to be said that the left has come after guns for the simple reason that they want you helpless and disarmed when they do to you what leftist regimes and communist regimes always do to the public when they disagree. We are already being bullied and intimidated into self-censoring and into being quiet because people have been made an example of. If you dare to support Donald Trump, we're going to take away your job. We're going to take away your livelihood. We're going to take away your reputation and everything that you hold dear. So you better toe the line. You better toe the party line. And what happens when people balk, like David Horowitz did? What happens in a free, in a formerly free country when people say, you know what? I'm not going along with that. I'm not going to put a stupid rag on my face. I'm not going to let you close down churches and synagogues, which we will get to in a moment because I have a spectacular guest who is going to join us. If you balk, God forbid you say no. One of my favorite mottos is, if you can't say no, your yes means nothing. And this is where the left, the communist left, is going. To get to us to a point where we obediently do as we are told. And if we don't, bad, terrible things happen to you. And they don't want you defending yourself. Now, that's a scary, scary thing to even have to say, let alone believe in the United States of America. But there's nothing really new under the sun. When someone wants to disarm a law-abiding citizen, they're not doing it because they wish you well. There is no honest person that is scared of a law-abiding citizen being able to defend themselves. Only criminals are against law-abiding citizens being able to defend themselves. Now, we did not know. For years, the left was so anti-gun and became more and more and more anti-gun until they have convinced their base that guns themselves are evil and people who own them are evil. And just owning a gun, just the gun itself, is bad, bad, bad. It is. It makes you evil. Nothing could be further from the truth. People who want to defend themselves and their families are not evil. They are exercising their God-given rights. Now, case in point, I have this article up here about the McCloskeys. The grand jury did, in fact, indict the St. Louis couple who showed their gun when a mob of Antifa and Black Lives Matter broke through their gate. You do know the story, I'm sure. And they were threatened with, we're going to kill you, we're going to take over your house, we're even going to kill your dog. And somehow, in the upside-down, unjust world of the left, which is all part of communism, communism, communism. What does Trevor Loudon say about the difference between socialism and communism? Oh, about 5 years. Well, the McCloskeys are now being indicted, have been indicted in the corrupt town of St. Louis, I'm sorry to say. St. Louis prosecutor Kimberly Gardner said, "I am alarmed." Oh, at the events, I sound a little like that whiny Kamala Harris. I've been talking too much. "I am alarmed at the events that occurred over the weekend where peaceful protesters were met by guns. They weren't even pointing them at them, but you know what? Brandishing that gun made them go away, and that was exactly the intended purpose. They were exercising their God-given Second Amendment rights. Communism does not like God, and they don't like Second Amendment, and they don't like rights. So nothing about communism likes any of those things. We're going to get ready to take a break here, but when we come back, I have been able to track down an Orthodox rabbi who I want to share, and really we're going to have an extended conversation with this rabbi who is making waves even in the Jewish community. I was so delighted. You're going to hear more about him in just a minute, about what it is to fight back against tyranny, even when you might be the only one. So stay tuned. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off, and we will be right back with the rabbi after this.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline. And my, oh my, in 3 weeks before one of the, probably the most important election, aside from 2016, is creating news everywhere. But there's a lot of news that just simply isn't making it. And as a talk show host that likes to look elsewhere and look around, I am pleased and privileged to have with us Rabbi Yitzchak David Smith. Smith, of all Jewish names, Smith. We'll have to get more information about that. Welcome to Spouting Off, Rabbi Smith.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is great to have you. The way that I, for our listeners, the way that I found Rabbi, someone sent me his first of three videos expressing all of the heartfelt things I've been complaining about my own community. Their heart is in the right place, but they seem to be a little naive about what is happening with the health department regulations using coronavirus to take away people's religious freedom. And Rabbi Yitzchak David Smith, just in the tradition of Mahatma Gandhi, who I sometimes quote, even though I didn't agree with everything he said, even if you're a minority of one, the truth is still the truth. And the rabbi is making wonderful videos encouraging Jews to stand up and civilly disobey unjust, unconstitutional laws. First, before we get into that, Rabbi, tell us a little bit about your background. I didn't get a long bio, but give us just a little bit about you and how you came to be where you're at right now. Just short, because we're going to get into this. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for taking the initiative to really bring this to the attention of your audience, because like you said, there's a lot of stuff that's in the news today that's just very titillating and gets people's attention, but it's not really what's going on. And so I appreciate that you're focusing on this issue, which is really the most important issue facing not only the Jewish community, but the entire American population at this moment in time. Yes. And so my background is I'm grateful to live in the United States of America. I was actually born in Canada originally, but we came to the United States of America for greater freedom and as a family. And then I actually, when I came, my first time in the United States of America as living here was actually studying University of California, Berkeley. I studied genetic research. I studied infectious diseases, virology, and molecular biology. And I was right in the milieu, right in the center of all the stuff that's being talked about today, all the viral research, all the discussions, all the seeing the personalities that are still running the Center for the National Institutes of Health Infectious Disease Center. They were fully functioning then also and coming to understand their personalities, what's really going on behind the scenes over there and in the universities, and how really there's a way that they managed to squash any opposition. And seeing that, I realized that there was not a lot of opportunity to be in the biological research field and be truly independent. I'm getting some feedback. You hearing that too?
Yeah, a little bit, but we can hear you fine. My engineer will stop us if we can.
So I went on into the field of law. I saw that law was one of the few remaining places in the United States where a person could maintain their independence and be able to say what they believed. And so I went and became a lawyer. I went to University, Tulane University School of Law. I also spent a number of years in yeshiva, became an ordained Orthodox rabbi, and learned both in the United States and studied in Israel. And thank God, grateful to be here. And all these three aspects of my life really have coalesced into understanding and being able to see what the truth is, both on a scientific and medical level, and then having the ability as a lawyer to speak up for what's true. But overarching all that is really the grounding in Torah, which is the God's divine wisdom, to be able to see from a 5,781 year viewpoint the course of history and understanding God's plan for creation and for all of humanity, and see what's unfolding right now. So that's how I got to where I am right now.
Rabbi, this is the perfect segue, because I watched only your first video. I haven't had time to watch the rest, but I promise you I will. Is that one of the things you said in a very diplomatic way, because you were speaking to your fellow Orthodox rabbis and to your fellow Jews, is that gently, most Orthodox rabbis do not have the background in the external world. Some do, but many do not. And they are leading their congregations in ways that are playing right into the hands of these avowed socialist communists. And we know that Jews, along with all religions, people of faith, have never done well in communist regimes, because, as I like to say, communists don't want to be God in their universe and in yours. So they find threats, people who answer to a higher authority, as in Hebrew National, anybody who answers to a higher authority like God is a threat to a communist. They can't allow religious freedom, religious pluralism. So here you are talking to other rabbis, doing something unprecedented, really, saying, please disavow the letter in which you were telling people to get vaccines and follow the laws that they're doing, because they're just bullying you, and the bullying is only going to get worse. Tell us about this first video that you made, because it was brilliant.
So thank you. Thank you for the compliment. And there's two aspects to this. But I just want to say that there's another video, as you can see on our website, saveourfreedoms.org. There's videos that we have, my speech in Trenton before a rally of 2,500 people speaking about these exact issues, and other materials and videos that are placed there. And the whole set can be watched by yourself and your listeners. There's, there's two aspects to this here. Now, I want to take a slight step back to paint a broader picture, because I think it's really essential to understand what's happening in the Jewish community and other communities also, which is that we really have a battle here between the God of abundance our humanity's belief in the God of abundance and the, what I'd like to call this cult of scarcity. Those that believe that God is not able to take care of his creation, they may even profess some sort of belief in God, but God's not able to take care of his creation. And therefore, since there's scarcity, all kinds of measures must be implemented to be able to take care of the things that God can't take care of. That's the cult of scarcity. And that really is a going back to the beginning of time. From the first man who rose up against his brother, Cain and Abel, when God showed favor to Abel for his offering, Cain felt a sense of lacking, that there was not enough love from God to go around. And therefore, the only way he could deal with his discomfort was to kill his brother. And that's the beginning of that fear, that feeling of scarcity, and one of the first manifestations of it. And then it continued through history. In all the different ways throughout history, you have the Spartan idea of getting rid of the disabled children. You have the idea of communism is really that there's not enough to go around. It is an expression of the cult of scarcity, as is all the other isms, socialism, communism, and people get lost in the titles, and they say, well, there's a distinction between Marxism and Stalinism and Leninism, and there is no distinction whatsoever, because they all boil down at their core to the cult of scarcity. And so in the cult of scarcity, there is a concept, a methodology, which is part of the way cults function. The way cults function is that there's certain people in the know and everyone else is an outsider. There's the insiders and the outsiders. And the insiders are the ones who know the different mysteries of the cult. And through performing well at each level, a person can go to a higher and higher level of a cult. Now, In modern terminology, that's what is the cult of experts. What we have now today is the cult of experts, that no one's really qualified to discuss anything unless they are an expert, unless they have a degree. They have to have a degree, and based on the letters of the way that you were inculcated or admitted into the level of expertise, you have more degrees. So you have a BS and a BA and an MA and then a PhD and advanced, all these kind of different things. And if you do all the right things and actually serve the people who are on the higher levels of this cult, then they will give you admission to the next level. And if you behave really well and say all the right things, then you can get yourself on Fox News and CNN and get some publicity and so forth and get your grants. But the reality is what it's the whole concept is that there's only some people that are allowed to have the information. Everyone else is unauthorized to speak on the subject. Now, why it's important to give you this background is to understand what's going on in the Orthodox Jewish world, particularly. But it's going on all over the place. This is a universal problem we have. But Torah, on the other hand, says, no, one second. God's wisdom, God's gift to humanity is meant to go down to every single person. And not only that, every single person is able to learn this information. There's no restrictions on it. Everyone's able to access it. It's an inheritance for everybody, and everyone's allowed to take it and to rise to the highest levels. It says that even a non-Jew who learns Torah is comparable to the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, the servant in the temple. This is the level of exaltation a person who studies Torah, a non-Jewish person, rises to, the portions of the Torah that are relevant to the non-Jewish person. So what you see is that the individual is the primary person, and every human being is treated with such an incredible respect, and everyone has the ability to learn and study and have something worthwhile saying. So it's the exact opposite of the cult of scarcity and the cult of experts. Now, what has happened is the rabbis who have studied Torah, they've started to, over the last 30 years, have been started to be whispered in the ear, you know, you guys are not really experts on certain things. So for example, it used to be if a person had a marital difficulty, he would go to the rabbi and with his wife, and they would discuss it with the rabbi, and the rabbi would share with them some Torah wisdom and help them get back on track. Today what happens is the rabbi sends them to a psychologist because it's beyond the rabbi. There are experts who are the only ones authorized to speak to this.
Yes.
And that's extremely damaging. Then the same thing is many different fields. So people don't say anymore, even stop to think, what is the Torah perspective on something? They say, go to the expert. So here's what's happening in this public health war. They've convinced the rabbis that their common sense is irrelevant. What they could read and research themselves is irrelevant. There are experts, and only certain experts they're allowed to listen to. And therefore, they must follow those experts. Now, the experts that they're told by the rabbi, by the doctors, by the Orthodox doctors who are public health aficionados, who are either receiving grant money from the different foundations and different organizations that or have worked for these different programs in the past, are whispering in the rabbi's ears and saying, you must follow this stuff. You're not expert enough to decide. All your questions should be put aside. And you must follow the public health directives. Now, in order to do that, you know, if they came along and said, the public health service says everyone must eat pig, God forbid, which is a, you know, forbidden food for Jewish people in the Torah.
Yes.
Everyone would say, no, we can't do that. But instead, what they do is they cleverly take the public health ideology and they clothe it in words that are familiar to the Jewish population. So things like putting the primacy of human life, the value of human life,
right.
The importance of making sure that we act in an honorable manner. All these things are then used to say, you see, we have to comply because the public health people are telling us that this is dangerous and we must save human lives, and therefore whatever they say goes. And we must comply because if we don't, it's going to look like we don't take this seriously.
Right. And so then they also, Rabbi, have their own congregants who are watching all this propaganda coming out of the media demanding that the rabbis comply as well. So they're getting it from both sides.
Yes, that's exactly it. And given the choice between the people that are watching the news and hearing the public health information, all kind of sources demanding compliance and threatening the rabbis and saying, you know, you're a murderer if you don't close down your synagogue. Then they weigh that with the people who say, no, keep it open. It's very hard to stand up, unfortunately,
yes,
against this argument that you're going to kill people by praying. You're going to kill people by sitting together and learning Torah. Or the non-Jews are going to think that the Jewish people are terrible because they don't comply. It's very hard for people to stand up against that, and they just surrender, unfortunately. It's tragic. It's tragic to watch.
Right. It absolutely is. Let's hold there. We have to take a break, Rabbi, and we have plenty of time to go a lot deeper into this question because it's critically important, not just for Jews, but for any people of faith and people who love freedom, people who love this country. Jews have flourished in this country because of religious pluralism and liberty. So here's a courageous rabbi attorney, and I can't wait to talk to him some more. We're going to take a break right now. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. We'll be right back right after this. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off.
Listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, you've got to know the name of the show. They repeat it a bunch of times. That's what we do. I am honored and delighted to have with us for the rest of the hour, Rabbi David. It's funny, I don't have your middle name in front of me. Rabbi David Smith.
Okay.
It's David Smith,
okay.
But I keep trying to get your...
Smith, but that's fine. That's okay.
Okay. You know, I don't have the right page up. But Rabbi Smith, and he is the principal of David Smith & Associates, a highly successful litigation appellate and constitutional law firm with offices in New York and New Jersey. And, of course, he's also an Orthodox Jewish rabbi. It is that background that has made you such a courageous voice for freedom, and I have a hunch you're going to be even more so. I'm taking this, by the way, from his website, saveourfreedoms.org. That's saveourfreedoms.org. You're going to want to go there. Is your three videos on that site?
They're hopefully be up by Monday. They're not up yet.
Okay. Well, you can get them, I think, on YouTube, or I'm going to put them on my website as well.
The Vimeo link.
Yes, and it's so important. One of the things that I think is so important is that when you find people like minds, of like minds about liberty and about loving this country and what it was designed to do, which is to protect individual freedom and responsibility, then it is incumbent upon us to stand with others, including Christians and Jews. You know, this show is syndicated on K-Star Radio Network, which is a unabashed, unapologetic Christian station. And, you know, Christians and Jews, we're in this time now when we must stand together for religious freedom. Now, you're telling with this video rabbis to basically engage in civil disobedience. Not an easy thing for most Jews who are very law-abiding and all of that, particularly Orthodox Jews, who are most likely to be an audience that can hear your message. So you've got a tough job, but then so did David against Goliath. Tell us what the strategy is for reaching Jews who are kind of afraid. Fear seems to be the order of the day.
Yeah, you're so right about the fear is the order of the day, and that's intentional. The intentional is fear, and a lot of the intentional fear is related around what are the non-Jews going to say, and I've said this from the very beginning. I said that if only the Jews would keep their synagogues open and the yeshivas open, where we study Torah, and our schools for the children, and we explain clearly to the world why we're doing this, why this is essential for the well-being of the United States of America, the American people will stand up and honor that, and they will defend the right of the Jewish people to exercise their religion, because it's not just about protecting the rights of other people as a because it's an important American value. But these Torah principles that we're learning in the yeshivas, the prayers that we're saying in our synagogues, these are the fundamental principles that inspired the founders of the United States of America to have the courage to put onto paper what is known and what is given by God Almighty to every single human being. And so this is the gift of the United States of America, was these people had the courage. And so really the most American thing, the most pro-American, pro-constitutional thing a person could possibly do is to stand up and defy orders that are against the United States Constitution and against the supreme being, which is God Almighty, who stands behind the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution of the United States of America. And that's what I really want to communicate to everybody is this recognition. You're not being pro-American by following the governor of New York's orders or any other governor's orders. These orders are completely unconstitutional. No matter what the courts say, they are completely unconstitutional. They go against the Constitution and God. And therefore, the way to do it is to defy the orders and explain in a confident and pleasant way to everybody exactly why we're doing what we're doing.
And that's what you've been doing. You were out. I mean, one of the reasons that I decided to handle this now was I've been complaining about it for months and months and months, but we just saw Jews being rounded up and herded like cattle in New York for daring to celebrate Sukkot, the feast holiday, outdoors by wannabe dictators Governor Cuomo and Governor Bill de Blasio. To see that visual of Orthodox Jews, peaceful Orthodox Jews, being breaking up their religious ceremony, it almost looked like Fiddler on the Roof, which I did three times for about 9 months. I did that show. It looked like Fiddler on the Roof when the Russians came and broke up a wedding. And yet, if you want to riot in the streets and burn down Wendy's, that's okay. So this led me directly to you. And yes, it's unconstitutional. I just had to rant there for a minute. I'm sorry. You are a constitutional lawyer. So let's put on, if you would, keep your yarmulke on and put on your constitutional law hat, because there's a lot of people that still are really quite confused about whether a governor can use, like it is in Colorado, use a health department as his proxy to shut down constitutional rights of the citizenry.
Well, I think that anyone that's confused about that is confused for a good reason. We have to understand how we got to this situation. And this is the key missing ingredient over here. Despite all the best efforts of many groups, and you mentioned the Christian groups and so forth, and I know you have a lot of Christian listeners, we have to understand that if we got to a situation where the governors could get this far, get away with this much for this long, there must be something lacking in the strategy of every group that's on the scene right now. There must be something lacking in the education of the population, even the well-meaning population, that they've been able to willingly succumb to this, to this degree for this long. So when I see a person that is feeling that this is appropriate, the governor should be allowed to do this, or the Constitution allows this, I see a person who's just been miseducated, that has not received the proper education in what the Constitution of the United States is and what the intention was of the founders of the United States. They saw throughout history, these ideals have always existed. The liberty of man, man's direct relationship with God, these are things that have always, always existed. Mm-hmm. And they are seeing, they saw that it was necessary to come up with a way in which to preserve those, that they should not be mere ideals in people's minds while they are enslaved, but rather should be actually preserved, that everyone should have access to that. So they came up with a system of the way the people would be actually the governors of themselves, and they would appoint people to help manage the government. Now, what has happened is that that education, that deep understanding of the divine source of these rights has been eroded. And people don't even see that they are divine anymore, because God has been taken out of the schools. And I want to use this opportunity to address an important legal distinction that is vital to understand where everyone is going astray. And when the founders of the United States of America came up with their terminology, they referred to the liberties and the rights, the individual liberties of each individual. These are divinely given. Now, there's a separate and completely different concept called civil rights or civil liberties. The word civil in its Latin root refers to a city, and the rights of the citizens for being residents of that city derives from their residency in that location. They therefore have certain rights. The actual meaning of that, therefore, is that if the city as a whole decides to add to or take away rights, then they can be changed by the city, because you only have the rights as being, as a virtue of, by virtue of being a resident. Now, this is extremely significant. If you have individual rights that came from God, you cannot have those. No one can take those away, and you are not even allowed to surrender them because they belong to you. They're called inalienable. If they're civil rights or civil liberties, then it's something that the civil society can decide to give or take. And what we see now is that lawyers are being educated in law school to talk about civil liberties, civil rights. This is an intentional change in the terminology that undermines the very concept of the United States Constitution. And that's why people are so confused, because they've been taught things like the social compact and all these different types of utilitarian philosophies in school.
That the Constitution is a living document. We can change it anytime we want. Right?
Right. Well, they don't, not only can they change the Constitution, but they don't even understand what the Constitution really means and what it means an inalienable individual, the rights of, you know, bestowed upon them by their creator. So the end result is, if you have an emergency of sufficient significance, then people can be then said, well, it's an emergency. People are going to die. Of course the government should be able to do that, because that's what, first of all, everyone's living in a la-la land, thinking that because America has been so blessed with freedom for so long that it's just going to continue automatically, and so therefore the governors can't, you know, mean any harm. But the other thing is that they don't even understand the risk of giving the governors these powers, because they've lost the connection with the danger and the purpose, the danger of the powers, and the purpose for making sure the powers are not put in the hands of any human beings.
Oh, it's beautifully, beautifully stated, beautifully stated. We are going to have to take a final break in just a minute, so I don't want to get into yet another subject, but it is a luxury and a blessing to have an extended conversation, and I do have your middle name now, Yitzchak, which is Rabbi Yitzchak David Smith. We have about a minute. When we come back, Rabbi, I'd like to get into masks. Now, I have taken to, because my listeners know, I'm proud to say that I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian, and I taught him the word shmata. That the government wants us to put a shmata on our face as a means of obedience to the government, regardless of whether it's... but as a social worker, I have a master's in social work, not that that matters. The psyop of masks has been fascinating and terrifying to me. And I know it has been for many of my listeners of all religious backgrounds, but especially people of faith. So when we come back, we're going to talk about masks. Is that okay?
Yeah, as long as we don't have to wear them, that's fine.
Exactly. Certainly not over our eyes, but not over our faces either. Yes, so you're listening to Spouting Off, and we're pleased and privileged to have with us Rabbi Yitzchak David Smith, an Orthodox rabbi of courage and wisdom. We will be right back. You're listening to Spouting Off after this.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KstarRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. We are pleased to have Yitzchak David Smith, Rabbi Yitzchak David Smith, and he is the proprietor of SaveOurFreedoms.org. SaveOurFreedoms.org. Go there. Lots of valuable information, as well as you will eventually be able in a couple days see those videos. He is a highly successful litigation appellate and constitutional lawyer with offices in New York and New Jersey. So that means that, well, yes, we all use our common sense. He is eminently qualified to advise not only the Orthodox Jewish community, but the religious community in general, and all people who love and see, as I do, that liberty is a moral imperative. That's what makes America so darn great, is that liberty comes with it responsibilities. Rabbi, thanks again for staying with us and for the generosity of your time. Before the break, I was talking about this shmata business, a rag. Shmata meaning rag in Yiddish. My many Christian friends liken the rag to the mark of the beast, which is not something that Jews necessarily believe, but I have said that if there was a symbol of this crazy Purim-like year of 2020, where everything is upside down, and Christians love Isaiah 10:20. Is it 5:20 or 10:20? Where good is bad, bad is good, up is down, good is evil, all that. Is it 5:20, Rabbi? I think it is. Oh, are you there? Yes.
Yeah, right here.
Yes, we are living in an upside down world right now, and we are being told to wear rag on our face to show obedience. The conforming, the needs, Chinese-style communist, to make us all conform regardless of whether masks work, which they don't. But that's not the issue. The issue is we have people from the health department, even in the Trump administration, begging us to put a mask on. You can't beg somebody who doesn't have the right to say no. That's called force. So talk about, from a biblical standpoint, the force of a government to putting something on your face, which has got to be unconstitutional. And what is most disturbing, Rabbi, is that so many people are complying with that.
Well, it's really disturbing, and it's what's most remarkable is that people are even discussing it. I mean, we're having a mass discussion, so please don't take offense if I say to you, why in the world are we even discussing masks? It's totally not negotiable. It's not an item for discussion. Why a human being would put a mask on their face. And that is something that's really important. And I think the mask is a reflection and of what's going on. And it's also a flashpoint. But the point to recognize is the mask is in many ways just a distraction, because what's happening is the government has issued 15 decrees, and the masks is the most absurd. So people are fighting that and arguing and walking around feeling very proud that they don't wear a mask, and they're defying the government. Meanwhile, the government is implementing all 14 other takeovers. And so we are being distracted from the real issues. The real issues, this is a tyrannical takeover of the entire United States of America and all countries in the world at the same time. And the masks is just a small but important symbolic leading edge of what's coming, what's happening. So we should not be discussing masks at all. No one should be discussing masks. There's nothing to debate. All the intellectuals in the country are debating masks. They've lost. Why in the world are they even discussing it? That's number one. Number two is,
I would want to tell you why, because it is a direct attack on each individual and their right to say no. I'm not feeling defensive or anything, but I never lose track of what it's for and why it's happening. But if you can help people see what's going on with the masks and the symbol, some people will never see it and never understand that they are conditioning. This is a psychological operation where they're conditioning people to accept so much worse. Forgive me for having said once, it's not exactly so kosher, if you roll over now, you'll be bending over later. Pardon me, Rabbi, but it's true. If you give in now, you'll be giving in to more later. And the mask is symbolic of that. It's saying you are muzzled. You don't have a right to say no.
So I'm agreeing with you. And what I'm bringing out is that we have to realize how low we've already stooped to even have a discussion about masks.
Yes,
everyone should just be walking around with a mask. They don't have to, there's nothing to discuss on the subject. The people who are wearing masks and insisting on it for other people are the ones that should be looked at as the odd people. Now, let's talk about the masks. From a Torah perspective, the person, every single human being is created with a divine image. That divine image is on a person's face. It's in their intellectual and emotional attributes, and it is, you cannot walk around covering your divine image. That's number one. Number two is, it says that God breathed into man the spirit of life. He breathed his own spirit of God into man. That is coming through our breathing. Every time we breathe in and out, like it says that King David says at the end of the book of Psalms, with every soul, kol hanashamat hallelujah, hallelujah, every soul will praise God, praises the Lord. And the word neshama, which is soul, is the same word for breathing, neshima, breathing. So it means also, with every breath I will praise God. So breathing in and out is part of the process of God giving us life and us praising God and feeling the gratitude of our being alive. You cannot block that. In addition, there is the problem that people are becoming emotionally harmed and disabled from the fact that we have thousands of muscle emotions in our face, that we look to each other to see what is going on in our relationships through watching other people's faces. And when you block people's smiles, when you block people's expressions, that is damaging to the children who are learning from the teachers, from the people who are talking to each other. And I heard someone say that there's a saying that if someone is going to be on a desert island, they recommend that all alone, he should paint a smile on a rock and look at it for a period of time every day, because you need to see other human beings and you need to see their smiles. So this is before we even get into the oxygen exchange and whether it's reducing people's oxygens or not, from the very highest spiritual levels, this is something that's absolutely not negotiable. And anyone who's wearing a mask should realize that it should be taken off.
So
now,
valuable.
then you can get into the science of it.
Let me just say, Rabbi, two quickie things. I heard a story of a little four-year-old boy who had a temper tantrum, and rightfully so, because when he went to school for the first time and he saw these people with masks on their face, he screamed to his mother, "I can't see their face! I can't see their face!" He had the most honest human reaction there is. The other thing is for you to give a religious underpinning to this is so very, very helpful for all of us, and it is being used to alienate us one from another, to be suspicious of one another. If the only reason to wear a mask ever, with even the current coronavirus, which is not as deadly as people have made it out to be, is if you are around a very vulnerable senior, which of course the governor did not have respect for, and you want to protect them from your germs, the rest of it is nonsense. Forgive me, I just had to say that because we're almost running out of time. I can talk to you, of course, much longer, and I hope I will. We have a couple minutes.
Add to that.
Yes, please.
I know the time is, we have enough time for everything that needs to be said, but number one is, I want to say that people are fainting. The Jewish emergency services are getting calls about mask-related injuries for children and for adults. There are dangers to it, and you could read online and research yourself about the oxygen issues and so forth. But that they're not meant to be worn long term and so forth, and the issues of their effectiveness. But here's the key. I want to go back to something you said earlier. This is only the first step. If you agree that you can only go buy food and be allowed to go to work if you wear a mask, then they will come next and say you can only buy food and have access to other things in society if you take a vaccine.
Right.
So time to resist is now. Take the mask off. Show your divine image. Breathe freely. There's nothing to be scared of in the air. Every police officer I see, I say, officer, it's not constitutional for masked police officers in the United States of America. This is not how we work here. I convince them to take off their masks. I tell people, I don't wear a mask for your sake, because you're wearing a mask, but you think it's good for you. I'm not wearing a mask for your sake, because I want to keep you as a free living human being. And I encourage everyone who's listening to literally take them off and convince everyone else that we're being led into a dangerous, dangerous trap of like you said, psyops, mind control, to do things for the everyone.
Rabbi,
benefits,
I'm afraid I'm going to have to cut you short. I hate interrupting a rabbi or anybody. I have only 30 seconds to wrap this up. I just want to say it's Shabbos tonight. I'm going to light a special candle for the Jewish people and for you, Rabbi. And a Hebrew word I want to teach my non-Jewish audience, chazak. C-H-A-Z-A-K, strength, strength. Let's have chazak and listen to this rabbi and rip those masks off and grab your freedom. Go to saveourfreedoms.org. Thank you, Rabbi, for joining us. I hope to have you on soon again. Thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when we'll be telling you all about more episodes of Spouting Off and Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern here on Spouting Off.